Well, praise the Lord. Let's grab a Bible. Psalm 23. Very familiar passage to many a Christian believer. Psalm 23. You know, words are powerful, and yet words can be almost just air. The words of God, when they're hard to find and be heard in true preaching, are precious and valuable. And yet words today, through social media, through just the mere sheer volume of them 24 hours a day, are almost like air at times. And it seems sometimes that this thing of words has become like air in ministry. In other words, a sprinkling of the words of God amongst and in the, say, midst of a volume of just words. I'm concerned that our music has come that way. You know, a lot of people think that it's merely about, say, merely about. Now, it is about things like the beat and how it affects your body, but a lot of people think that it's all about trying to preserve some old way because it's old. Well, no. It's about this. When God spoke in the beginning, from there on out, he wanted us to track that speaking. He wanted mankind to make his words above all other words. And then he put a value on words that would connect a person's heart and mind, soul and spirit, to God's words. So he's honored those who spoke his words on behalf of him, and he has promoted, you might say, he has recommended the preaching of his word. And it's more than just quoting scripture directly, because he tells us to preach the word and study the word, etc. But we come across today and we meet with so many empty words, and words are at such a volume today that people can put words out constantly. And yet, he said in Amos, he would make a famine of the words of God. So words are powerful, and they can be almost just air. Let's take, for example, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, the word shepherd means so little to, I would say, probably 99% of all people today. There's very little direct contact, direct context of what a shepherd is. I think sometimes today people have taken the word leadership, made it synonymous with shepherding, and replaced shepherd with leader. And that is not accurate at all. You see, a synonym, a part of defining a shepherd is to lead. And we find that as a shepherd, it said he led Moses and Joseph at different places like a flock. In other words, he was a shepherd. And so many might think of it as, say, crowd control or moving or herding people. Some people think of it as one who keeps tabs on and tallies on, tally being to count. If some people lived in certain parts of the world, you take a stray, for example, where there's large tracts of pasture land that it takes for livestock to live, and they just periodically oversee them, they might think that's what shepherding is, but it's not. You see, shepherding, my friend, is in the Bible sense, and we're not going to overanalyze it. It doesn't help to do that, to break it down all the way. But the Bible statements need to be viewed as Bible intended, as Bible statements. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then he goes through some things that you would do. Now, let me say that people get offended. Perhaps the flesh mostly is what it is. And every person has that potential, even if you're born again, because you still have the accompaniment of this old nature trying to distract your new nature from God. And there's a so-called stigma, you might say, or a negativity towards the idea of being a sheep. When he says, as a sheep dumb before shears, that word dumb is talking about silent. And if you've ever watched them, they'll pick that sheep up, put their hands under its front legs, sit it up on its bottom, and a sheep shearer walks around it and shears it off. And it just drops its head and they do it. And then all the noise you hear at shearing time when you have hundreds, yea, thousands of sheep in the yard is before and after they're shorn. While they're shorn, they're just there. They're quiet. They're dumb. D-U-M-B, quiet, before their shearers. Now, sheep, they're foolish in this sense. They will repeat their mistakes. They will not necessarily store up things in their memory like that. And that's us. Have you ever noticed that you can get some things down pat into a routine, but a lot of the things that are really beneficial and needful take more effort to become routine? Have you noticed that as humans, we tend to repeat the things that aren't necessarily the best for us, and we tend to wander off into things? So God made us that way for a purpose. Then he made sheep to teach us, not vice versa. He didn't make the sheep and go, these people and sheep resemble each other. No, he designed everything. You ought to get that in your mind. But my subject today with that is this: the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Bible says, John said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So when we view the Bible, and he says, my shepherd, we also find that he was born as a lamb, lived as a lamb, and was sacrificed as a lamb. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And so my key thought, and we're going to look at Psalm 23, but my key thought with it is this: the Lamb of God is our shepherd. The Lamb of God is our shepherd. Now we know in Matthew 1:23, he said, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. But what we know in the passage is he told them that she would call his name, verse 21 of Matthew 1, Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And so we see that God was born as a lamb, and Jesus lived as a lamb. He didn't live as the lion his first coming. And then he was sacrificed as a lamb. God lived in obedience. God lived in meekness. God lived in submission. Comprehend that. And if you have something there, would you take a moment and go to Hebrews 4? And between Hebrews 4 and 5, slip a piece of paper or one of your ribbons out of your Bible, and there we'll come back to it. But God lived in obedience and meekness and submission. And he did it for all mankind. Now we relate to it who have appropriated his gift of eternal life. We who have appropriated his gift of the blood of Jesus Christ, we relate to it more directly. But please never forget that he's not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. It's out there. It's available. He died to give his soul a ransom. You say, well, it says for many. It doesn't, many being a whole bunch of people. Not many as in some of the people. I've said for years, and if you're there in Psalm 23, look over at Psalm 22, where it begins, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? And you read down through here and you find several crucifixion statements. In verse 8, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. This is what they throw at him over there in the book of Matthew 27. So you see, to get to Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, you have to go through Psalm 22. You've got to go through the cross to get to the shepherd. But I just want to say three things here about our Lord, because this thought is so strong for me, that the Lamb of God is our shepherd. And would you get this pattern down? Because if you get this pattern down, it'll help you personally in your Christian life. When you get this pattern down that God does one type of thing first and then it leads to the other, the Lamb of God is our shepherd. If God has called you to do anything as a believer, he's going to call you to follow his pattern, and that is the Lamb of God then became our shepherd. And there's a real reason, okay? So I want to say first of all this. He was born as a lamb that would die. I know this time of year, we're in February, so we've just come through the last 60 days, through the time of year when people speak of the first advent, and they talk about his coming into the world, and so it's still fresh in people's minds that he was born and laid in a manger and wrapped in swaddling clothes. Listen, he's the firstborn and without blemish. And so for all these years, for 6,000 years, God had said, and we'll say for 4,000 years leading up to that point 2,000 years ago, God had said, when you have a firstborn without blemish, they're destined to be offered to me. And may I remind you, lest you get caught up in all this stuff that you hear, and I fear for Christians today because they don't listen to and watch things with the filter of the Word of God. They watch things and listen, and then they filter the Word of God by it. And that's not the way to go. I mean, hey, praise the Lord that there's people that spend tens and hundreds of millions of dollars called National Geographic and, you know, Animal Planet and all that stuff. Thank God they spend money proving how incredible creation is. They do, and they don't even know that's what they're doing. But never forget that these creatures are not the same as human beings. I had a conversation with a young man just the other day, and he was asking, you know, he was asking some Bible questions about, say, angels and how they are in the Bible and spirits, and I pointed out again that creatures are not, they're just creatures in God's eyes. And we are to be gentle with creatures, that is, we are to be, you might say, show the human side of us, the care, the stewardship. And yet God gave them to be food, and God had the firstborn without blemish to be offered. So God wasn't telling you that somehow you're taking a life like you are a human life. They're not the same. They worship the creature more than the Creator today. Now what's the point? God's only begotten Son was born to die. And they wrapped him in picture and typology as if he was ready for the grave as that newborn baby. The picture is so powerful and poetic and perfect is that you must trust God with the seeds. Put yourself for a moment in the position of the people who lived and subsisted and thrived as husbandry, as livestock. In livestock, you would take the firstborn without blemish, and it would become the seed for your flock. That firstborn male without blemish would become the seed whereby you would produce this amazing flock. But you see, he told his people, to show you trust me, take that seed and offer it and kill it, and trust me to produce your flocks. It's an act of faith. It's an act of trust. So the application is even greater because God gave his firstborn. And he was marred. And he was marked. And he was mistreated. And he will always throughout eternity bear that marring and marking and mistreating because he is the lamb slain in eternity. So we could be seed. See, our great shepherd was a lamb And now he's our shepherd. And that brings me to say the second thing, friend. Okay? He was bound to his father's business. I know you'll remember over in Luke 2, the only thing we have between his birth and the opening up of his ministry, his public ministry, was at this time in Luke chapter 2. And his family go to Jerusalem, as they would, being who they were. Okay? And the only little glimpse we have is that they come, and they come there when he's 12 years old, Luke 2:42, and they lose track of him because there's a whole group of them, a whole family there, and there's more than one story you've heard of someone who stopped at a rest area when they're traveling in two or three or four vehicles and a caravan of stuff, and kids and cousins are hanging out with each other in different vehicles, and somebody gets left behind. Today, not as big a tragedy with the cell phones and all that, but man, in the old days, it could be, and it was for them. But the point being that he was bound to his father's business. When they found him at 12 years old, he was already about his father's business. His father was God Almighty. And there's no strangeness with that. There's no mind-boggling with that if you just take God by faith. So when he says to Mary and Joseph, how is it that you sought me? Wished you not that I must be about my father's business, capital F, for father in your King James Bible. We know that he was bound to his father's business throughout his earthly life. Because the Lamb would secure, as in purchase and redeem and propitiate, those Bible words, the Lamb would secure the open door to eternity, to restoration for mankind. So the Lamb had become the Lamb of God to really be our shepherd. The Lamb came to seek and to save that which was lost. The Lamb became a shepherd by suffering, by laying down his life for the sheep. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, John 10 says. You see, if you get the picture that he's not the shepherd through royalty, he's not the shepherd through mere declaration, he's not the shepherd through a delegation of power and rank, he's a shepherd because by suffering, he came and he was the Lamb of God. He said, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You say, well, he gave it as a shepherd, what he did, but he was also the Lamb of God. And when I read Psalm 23, which is where we're talking about, we'll make more reference to, where he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I think of all the different things and ways in which he's our shepherd, and he knows more than anyone else how to be our shepherd because he became a lamb first. In the 4,000 years of the Old Testament, God was very gracious and God was very strong and God was very kind and merciful to his people. But then God went much, much further. And after those 4,000 years, he sent his son in the likeness of men and for sinful flesh. And he came and he became our shepherd by suffering, because when he did so, when he became that lamb, he did the things that a lamb has to do, that a firstborn without spot and blemish lamb had to do. You know, it's an amazing thing if you think about this. Okay? He says in Hebrews 4, I ask you to turn there, put a marker, go there for a minute. Hebrews 4 and 5 has this passage that is so powerful if we sink down in it and soak it up. It's amazing. The Lamb of God is our shepherd. So when it says, the Lord is my shepherd, and there's more, we're going there. Let me say this to you. This Psalm 23 has been a bedrock inspiration to people you might not even suspect. Like many of you think, well, the Lord is my shepherd. Maybe it's a Catholic thing. Maybe it's a religious thing, a Presbyterian thing. Some maybe a little bit Baptist thing. Baptists are kind of too proud to really embrace it. And I'm a Bible-believing Baptist, so relax. But there's a group of men and women. There's a group of brave people that in times of great suffering have found Psalm 23 to be their bedrock. And that's because there's a part of them as warriors that knows that God knows what they need. And you see, as a lamb, as one of God's sheep, it's a great comfort to me to know that he knows what I need, not just because he has a delegated role of shepherd, but he was a lamb. Hebrews 4, verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And then if you would look just across the page or whatever it is on your Bible, your King James Bible, and look at Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, capital S, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Speaking of Jesus Christ, you say, being made perfect, verse 9, he was God. Perfect as in complete. He became the complete Lamb of God, and it made him become the complete shepherd. Because not only was he born as a lamb that would die, not only was he bound to his father's business, but he blesses with the blessings of a sheep, of a lamb of God, because he knows what a sheep and what a lamb needs. How does he know so intimately? Because he came and he was. He knows babyhood. He knows sibling things. He was a brother. Had brothers and sisters. Not that Roman Catholic superstitious thing of her being the eternal virgin. He had that. He knows what it was to be a teenager. He knew what it was to be 12 years old and have a vision. He knew what it was to work with his hands. He knew what it was to have obedience. Obedience that brought shame, Hebrews chapter 12. Well, flip over a couple pages to Hebrews 12. He knew what it was to obey and it brings shame. He says in Hebrews 12, 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Why did he say that? Because he said in verse 2, to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now watch. Who for the joy that was set before him, he didn't enjoy the cross, he endured. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, he knows what you need. So listen to him. And trust him. A while back, I was rereading the account of Operation Red Wing that went so south, and only one survivor from it, and from that came the book Lone Survivor, and I was reading where they, on the cover, they made a movie out of it. But I was rereading the book, and Marcus Luttrell says, in his own words, that when he was suffering so deeply and suffering so much fear, and this is a big burly guy, these are guys who face death and fear, that Psalm 23 was what he cited to himself over and over and over. The account shows that back at the ranch, at the home ranch in Texas, that just scores of people were gathered spontaneously. No one called them or rallied them. Spontaneously, they were gathered together, and spontaneously, they would be quoting Psalm 23. You say, well, what a contradiction. These are warriors. These are fighters. These are men who have to be soldiers and take, you know, violence against the enemy. And why would Psalm 23 be their thing? Well, our Savior was crucified by soldiers. He was taken by soldiers. He was accused of trying to make himself a king. Our Savior was the ultimate soldier who, at the appropriate time, laid down his life for the sheep. He laid down his life for the whole world. There is a simple truth that says that the majority of people are like sheep. By the way, that's a good thing. That is, they like peace, they like quietness, they like security, which sheep love and need. There are a handful that are like wolves, and they're vicious and they're voracious, and they use violence. And then there's a group that are willing to be shepherds. They call themselves sheepdogs. And they stand between the wolves and the sheep, and they face the wolves for the sheep's sake. And the problem is, child of God, and if you happen to be a Christian man, the problem is you must make this connection in the right way, or you'll make it in only the earthly way. Because our inspiration by the Apostle Paul that says, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So we learn from soldiering, but as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He knows what you need. Why? Because he was. He was a lamb, and yet he was the shepherd who laid down his life. He stood between the wolves and the sheep. What an amazing combination. And so you see in the work of God, what God wants is he wants under shepherds who understand what it is to be a lamb. Who understand what it is to lay down their life. Who understands what it is to fear like our Savior. It says he feared as a son of God in Hebrews 5. And yet he faced it. But he faced it as the son of God. Not as the world would. Not as a Goliath. Okay? Not as a merely carnal man. So we'll read Psalm 23 again. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And that young man was on that mountain and falling up and down that mountain. And his life was being sought from every corner. Can you not now picture why this meant so much to him? Why to lie down in a green pasture, to lie beside still waters, to have his soul restored, to feel whole, to lead him in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Unless you've had your life actually be in the fear of death, and that shadow of death hovering over it. You may not know how powerful these words are, but perhaps you will, for he says, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. By the way, the rod and the staff are the tools of the shepherd for two different things. One, to defend against those wolves. And the lion and the bear, as David said. And the other, to help guide and keep the sheep together. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. That young man on that mountain prayed, and they would bring him food. And even as wretched as the water was, it kept him alive. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. They attended to his wounds. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. When? Forever. Do it now, daily. But perhaps this little truth can be a little bit of the blessing. It's a tremendous blessing to me every time I think of it, when things are extremely tough in particular, or when I just want to calm my heart and mind, especially when we see such a decay around us of believers. I expect the world to be a mess. I wish you would. I expect things to fall apart here in the United States or in these other so-called free countries, because the Bible says they're going to, and everyone's trying to hang on tenaciously to something that God needs to do so people will get saved before the end of the age. We must be lambs like our Savior, and some of us must be sheepdogs like our Savior. The Lamb of God is our shepherd. We shall not want. He makes us to lie down in green pastures. You need that secluded time, whether it's 5, 10 minutes a day, half hour a day. Now listen, it's not by volume. I most admire the people, like most of us are, that have to go out and ground pound out in the world and work, and yet we are able to live and abide and walk in Jesus Christ, because that's what we must do. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's not a braggadocious, heroic thing. It's said in hope and in faith. some of y'all need the snot beat out of you. Not by one of us, but by God. Because you're just so self-reliant. And you're so self-motivating, and you're so self-pumping up. And that's why you go up and down and up and down like a yo-yo. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He knows what you need, so listen to him and trust him. Why? Because we need a shepherd. And some of us are definitely called to be sheepdogs. Sometimes we're sheepdogs just in general for people. Sometimes we're sheepdogs of doctrine. Sometimes we're sheepdogs of that devotional stance that people must keep in. Sometimes we're sheepdogs in prayer. And we face off against the spirit world and we pray and make intercession. But don't ever think that you're just a sheepdog. Don't ever think that you're just a soldier of Jesus Christ, because our shepherd was the Lamb of God first. Father, pray take this simple truth and use it however it may be done. So in Jesus' name, amen.